Someone will mistreat you like you mistreat me. Further on up the road, someone will mistreat you like you mistreat me. Further on up the road, baby, you just wait and see.
The term legendary gets bandied about a little too frequently these days, but the Grammy-winning musician John Hammond surely has earned it. Tom Waits calls him a great force of nature, and then Waits goes on to say that John sounds like a big train coming. He chops them all down. John's sound is so compelling, complete, symmetrical, and soulful with just his voice, guitar, and harmonica. It is first impossible to imagine improving it. John Hammond was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame in 2011. His latest album, Timeless, marks over 50 years since the start of his career. And you can also see him at the City Winery tonight. But as a special treat, we have invited him to perform for you right now in our studio. Hi, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Leonard.
Aren't you a native New Yorker?
I was born in Greenwich Village, November 13th, 1942, on Sullivan Street.
A very different place these days.
Yes.
But it was also a place where there was a lot of folk music activity, and a lot of blues singers seemed to be visiting New York and playing at the local clubs.
That's right. When I was seven, my father took me to, I think, the Judson Church, and I saw Big Bill Brunzi. That was in 1949, and it made a very indelible impression on me.
Well, your father was mostly associated with jazz.
Yes.
Has jazz been an interest of yours as well? How did you wind up gravitating toward the blues?
Well, when I heard Big Bill, I guess that was what really galvanized me to the blues-oriented music. I didn't grow up with my dad, so I didn't get to hang out with all the scenes that he was involved in. I gravitated towards blues and... artists like Sonny Terry and Brian McGee, Josh White, Leadbelly would come through and play at the Village Gate or wherever, and gravitated towards that kind of thing. But when the Alan Freed shows, you know, Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry, Jackie Wilson, all these incredible R&B and blues-oriented artists, that really turned me on.
Your middle name is Paul.
Right.
Is that in honor of somebody?
My godfather was Paul Robeson.
Ah.
I guess that's pretty heavy.
Yeah. So you don't live in New York anymore. What is it like to come back and see the Village today?
Well, my wife Marla and I moved to Jersey City 18 years ago. And it's like the sixth borough now. So I'm as close as I can be.
When did you pick up the guitar? Were you young?
I was 17 when I first got a guitar. I already knew all the songs. I was ready to go. And within a year, I was playing professionally.
What was your first playing gig?
I was on my way to California, where I'd never been and wanted to make myself up, I guess. I stopped in the way in Aspen, Colorado, and played at a place called the Red Onion. And that was the first time I played for a paying audience. And then when I got to Los Angeles, it was tough at first. A lot of the coffee houses said, well, that's not folk music. And I said, yes, it is. And I auditioned at this club called the Ash Grove and opened for the Staples Singers, who were just phenomenal. Then this was before their hit records. This is when they were pure gospel. And Pop Staples said to me, son, I don't know how in the world you learn to sing that kind of music, but whatever you do, don't stop. And it made me feel, it's one of those moments where you just get inspired.
Well, we hear a lot about Mavis these days, but yeah. Roebuck was a pretty good singer himself.
Oh, he was phenomenal and a great guitar player.
He played a lot of bottleneck guitar.
He did.
Now, it's obvious that you have a slight problem with stuttering, and some people
always have.
Some people find that when they sing, they actually overcome the stuttering.
Well, it's not ever affected my singing, and there are times when I don't stutter at all. But early on in my career, I know that it kept me from getting more exposure, I guess.
Afraid to say, and now I'm going to sing.
Right.
Well, with that in mind, you're going to sing something for us?
Oh, definitely.
And this is a blues that you wrote called Heartache Blues?
This is Heartache Blues.
I got an ache in my heart, man, sad as I can be. I got an ache in my heart, boy, sad as I can be. I got a woman who's low down, poor child, and it's got the best of me. Man, she's mean and she's evil, and you know I worry both night and day. I said she's mean and she's evil, and you know I worry both night and day. And you know she slips out tonight, oh child, I'm gonna make my getaway. Suits my clothes. Now I'm going back to the south. Man, when the weather suits my clothes. And I'm gonna start me a new life, babe. Oh, child, I don't care where you go.
John Hammond singing Heartache Blues, country blues.
It's a country blues.
And you mostly sing country blues these days?
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of from Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry tunes to Robert Johnson and Willie McTell and the whole gamut.
And mostly you have performed solo, although you have had bands.
I have, yes.
Do you prefer solo?
I do.
Well, but you had a band that included both Eric Clapton and Jimi Hendrix. I mean, that had to have been extraordinary.
Well,
how did that happen?
I met Jimi Hendrix in 1966, and he was stranded in New York between bands, whatever. And I was introduced to him. We became friends. He asked me if I could get him a gig. And I went over to the Cafe Ogogo and arranged for me to have a band playing that week, and me and Jimmy and various guys on bass, drums, formed this band, and we played there for a week, and he was discovered and went to England right after that.
So you never recorded together?
No. Then he came back to the U.S., and at the same, I had been over to England the year before and met Eric Clapton with John Mayall and toured with them and so forth. And so anyway, Eric Clapton and Jimmy were both in New York then, and they both came down to sit in with this little band that I put together with Charles Otis on drums and Lee Collins on the bass, and they sat in for a week. I had two of the greatest guitar players in the world. It was amazing.
You also have been given credit for bringing the band to more attention and recommending them to Bob Dylan.
Well, Bob came to a recording date that we did for Vanguard called So Many Roads, and the next thing I knew, they were his band.
Tell us about the other song you're going to play, Junko Partner. It was first recorded by James Waynes.
I don't know where it first was recorded, but I learned the song from Charles Otis, who is from New Orleans, and it was sort of a traditional New Orleans-type tune. And he taught me the words. I sort of put some together, whatever.
Down the road, come a junko partner. Man, he was loaded, asking. Now he was knocked out, he's knocked out loaded. Singing a song to me. If I had me $1 million, I mean a million of my own, I would buy me a big red tractor. And I'd raise me a reefer farm. Now I pawn my watch and pistol. Yeah, I pawn my golden chain. I'd have pawned my Pico Bella, but the poor girl couldn't sign her name. Down the road, come a junko partner, and he was loaded, loaded, asking me. Now he was knocked out, he's knocked out, loaded, and he's singing this song to me. Give me water when I'm thirsty. Give me whiskey when I'm dry. Give me reefer when I'm sickly. Give me heaven when I die. Down the road, come a junko partner, buddy loaded, loaded, asking me. He was knocked out, he's knocked out loaded, and he wobbled all over the street.
John Hammond, who will be performing tonight at the City Winery at 8 o'clock. The doors open, by the way, at 6. And if you want ticket information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. He was singing Junko, J-U-N-C-O, Partner. And the new album, Timeless, is recorded live in a club.
In a club.
What is the advantage or disadvantage of recording live rather than doing it in a studio? Your mistakes wind up in the record, don't they?
Yes, they do. Fortunately, this is a club where I've played many times at Chan's and Woonsocket, and there's a really great audience that comes to hear me. And so I figured the engineer had approached me and said, I'd love to record you live here one time, and we took him up on it, my wife Marla and I, and it worked out. It was just one of those great nights, and so happy it did.
Is this your typical repertoire for a club date? Jimmy Rogers, Going Away Baby, Light and Hopkins, Last Night, Skip James, Hard Times. You also did something by Chuck Berry and something by Elmore James.
Yes, I did.
And then your own songs.
I know like 400 songs or more, and I don't ever feel at a loss for a song.
So if I were to say to you, sing some obscure blues that was recorded in 1922, you might very well know.
I might very well.
Blind Lemon Jefferson singing, I'm trying to think of one of those songs.
Oh, like, I know
Black
a whole
Snake
bunch.
Bone.
Yeah. I do know them all. Well, not all, but I know a bunch.
And it's fun watching you play a song like Junko Partner because you're your own rhythm section.
This is true. What I enjoy most is when a stage is got that hollow thump to it. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with cement floors.
Well, so the audience couldn't hear just what your foot was doing there, but I saw it.
You saw it.
And I thank you so much for being on our show. A reminder that you can get information about John Hammond's performance tonight at the City Winery by going to our show page at WNYC.org. You also can get his new album called Timeless, which has just been released on Palmetto Records. This is your 35th album.
Yes, it is.
What a pleasure it's been having you on our show.
Thank you, Leonard. I can't tell you how much I enjoy your show. This here is something, baby, I've never seen before. A man getting my money and slamming my back door. But you tell me, mama, who's that wild ago? Yeah, well, I'm coming, baby, tell me.